carry to the house. I don't intend to preach anything new. I've preached on us finding Him just about until I've exhausted my knowledge. Now, I didn't say I'd exhausted the Word of God. I said I had just about exhausted my knowledge. But I think I've got one or two more little thoughts out of this text that I want to try to bring tonight. And we may preach from verse 5, and we may not. It's virtually the same verse that we found in verse 7 of chapter number 2. And I don't know if we'll preach from that verse or whether we'll not preach from it, but we'll just have to pray and see how God leads us. If not, we'll go on to verse number 6 and right on down through the rest of the chapter. But I want to begin reading again tonight in verse number 1 here in chapter number 3 and try to bring what God's laid on my heart this evening. The Bible said, "By night on my bed I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, 'Saw ye Him whom my soul loveth?' I was but a little, it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found Him whom my soul loveth. I found Him and would not let Him go until I had brought Him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till He please." Now may the Lord add His richest blessing there to the reading of His Word tonight. Let's look to Him in just a moment of prayer and ask God to sanctify His Word to our hearts and to bless us as only God can. Our Father, we're thankful tonight again for the singing. Thank You for the service thus far and for what You've done in our hearts. Thank You for the morning hour and the gracious liberty, Lord, that You gave this morning to expound the Word of God, the truths that we were able to find by the help of the Holy Ghost. And I pray that again tonight, Lord, that You would set us in a large room. God, that You would provide us the liberty that we need to preach. I pray, Lord, for my physical body, that You would give it power and strength. And for my spiritual man, that the fresh oil of God would be anointed upon it and power would be given to it to preach. And I pray, Lord, that You'll loose my heart and fill it with the thoughts of God. Help my mind to be sharp and clear. I do pray that You'll open up the ears of understanding and hearts of joy this night. And help us, Lord, I pray, to find Jesus as our all in all in the house of God. I thank You for Your people. I thank You again for the privilege of preaching. I do pray that You'll help me now. I stand in great need. Touch me and bless me and help me. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We're preaching tonight out of verse number 4 of this text. We've been looking at the church's quest for her beloved. We see the church in search of her Lord. And in verse number 4, it says, "It was but a little while that I passed from them." That is, from the watchmen that go about in the city. They had found her, and she had inquired of them, "Have you seen Him whom my soul loveth?" And apparently they had and knew right where He was. For just a little while after passing from them, the Bible said there that I found Him whom my soul loveth. Now notice in the Scripture what she did. She held Him. After she had found Him, she held Him. And she would not let him go until she had brought him into her mother's house and into the chamber of her that had conceived me, it says. I want to preach tonight for a little while on bringing Christ into the church. I said this morning, I say it again tonight, that we'll never enjoy the divine presence of God in the church house unless you and I, as God's children, bring Him in. The Spirit of God dwells within us. And it is our responsibility to find Christ in our life and then bring Him into the house of God. You know, our Lord Himself said that no man lights a candle and then sets it under a bushel. But if a man lights a candle, he sets it on a hill on a candlestick. The Bible, a candlestick, is a type of the church. May I say to you, if God has lighted our soul, then, my friend, we ought to bring the light that God's given us into the house of God, that all that are in the house might see that light and rejoice in it, and then glorify our gracious Lord that is in heaven. If you know Him as the light of the world, for crying out loud, bring Him down to the church house that others might see that great light that you've got and find and enjoy the same blessing of life that you found since you've been saved. Hallelujah to God. Now, I said again this morning, I'll say it tonight, that the greatest need in our church today is a divine manifestation of the presence of God. Church, we do not need a new program. We don't need modern-day singing quartets to come by. Most of them suck cigarettes and the women wear breeches and the men are whoremongers anyhow. And we don't need any of that crowd around here. I think we've got enough godly men and women that they can get up and sing and bless our hearts without bringing in the world and the devil's crowd into the church house. Oh no, we don't need programs and we don't need singing quartets and we don't need the Kiwanis clubs and the Awanas clubs and all the other clubs. I'm going to tell you what we need at Island Ford Baptist Church is for the great God of heaven to rend the heavens and come down that He might melt the mountains under His feet, ring the joy bells of heaven in our soul and fill us full of the power of God that we may show His strength and His power to the generation that is around us and to those that are to come. And I take those that are coming to be that little boy and that little girl that is sitting on the pew beside you, mommy and daddy. If they never see Christ in you, they will never see Christ at all. That's right. In the Ephesian church, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1, the Lord walked in the midst of the church. Now, if He was walking in the midst of the church, then apparently He was active in that church. He was laboring inside that church. Did you know that we do not have Jesus with us today corporally? As a man, He can only be in one place at a time. But when He ascended back to the right hand of God the Father and sat down there, He dispatched the high sheriff of heaven, the Holy Ghost of God, and sent Him on the day of Pentecost. And since that day, He has been taking up His residence and His abode in the hearts and lives of the children of God. Jesus is not here corporately, but He is here in the presence and the person of the Holy Ghost that dwells within our bosom. And Holy Ghost is not a bad name. It is the third person of the divine Godhead. And you and I ought to rejoice in the fact that God, the Holy Ghost, dwells in the church today. Are you listening to me? I hope you are. It's like that little story I told you a week or so ago about an old man that owned a farm. And all he did was scratch out a living out of it. And he left that farm in his will to his boy. His boy, after the inheritance, discovered there was gold in that land. And it made him a very wealthy young man. Now, he owned the same land that the man owned, his father. His father had the same opportunities that the boy had. But the young man seized upon those opportunities, recognized the wealth of the land, and found great blessing out of it. And I'm going to tell you something. The problem today is, friend, that folks, we all got the same salvation, but so many folks fail to recognize the gold of the Holy Ghost as He works in hearts and lives to glorify Jesus and magnify Christ down at the house of God. Amen and amen. That's right. Now, he was walking in the midst. He was active. He was working. He was calling sinners to repentance. He was sanctifying men to preach the gospel. He was setting apart those to teach Sunday school, and others to sing in the choir, and others to sing special music. He was working in the hearts of men and women where they could have victory in their home. Instead of fussing and fighting and raising hell, they could go home to a safe haven of rest and sit down and enjoy one another's company and fellowship. I'm simply saying that Christ was active at Ephesus in the person and work of the Holy Ghost there. And the Bible said that he was working for them, in them, and through them. And he also held the pastor in the power of his right hand, in a place of authority. I tell you, we've got so many wimps behind the pulpit today. Amen to God, they don't have a bit of authority. They pastor Laodicean churches. They let the people do what they want, get by with whatever they want to, sin how they want to, amen, neglect their responsibilities. I'm telling you, you're looking at a preacher that is not about to let you get by with anything that I believe is profitable to you. I'm going to skin your hide and steer you from those things that I believe that are not profitable in your life. Amen. Now, I want you to notice something with me, that in the context, the church here had made two unsuccessful attempts in finding her beloved. But by the help and advice of the watchman of the city, she was able to find him. Once he was found, or once she found him, she refused to let him go. That's right. She refused to let him go. She therefore brought him into her mother's house and into the chambers of her that had given her conception or had given her birth. Now, I want you to notice something right here that I'd never seen until this evening. But the Lord Jesus, my friend, her beloved, once she had been found, did not put up any resistance to go to the house of God. Hey, He has purchased the church with His own blood. Look here. Yeah, the Bible said that she would not let Him go until she had brought Him into the chambers of her that conceived her and into, my friend, the house of the living God. And He did not put up any resistance along the way. It is His delight to visit the house of God, to bless His people, to save sinners, to give direction for our lives, to fill us full of the Holy Ghost, to give us victory. God delights in walking in the midst of His church. Are you listening now? He delights in walking. He didn't fight her. God's not about to fight you. Once you find Him, friend, He'll come along relatively easy to the house of God. Why not? It belongs to Him. It's His property. And he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he's got a lot invested, whether you realize it or not. Christ has got a lot invested in you and me. It cost Him His own blood to purchase our unworthy soul out of the slave market of sin, to make us a child of God, to baptize us into the church, and then to allow His glory to be in the church world without end. Amen and amen. I hope you're starting to listen. Now, it says here, she brought him into her mother's house. Her mother's house. That is the place and into the chambers of her that had conceived me, she said. That is where she had been birthed. She wanted to bring the Lord into the place where she had found conception and where she had found birth. Now, I don't want to cause nobody to have a stroke here. But I believe that was a house of God. Yeah. Friend, there, hey, there is no better a place for sinners to be saved than sitting under the preaching of the Word of God down at the house of God. Yeah. Oh, somebody said, Brother Hall, what are you going to do about Thursday night visitation? Nothing. Amen. I'm going to keep on witnessing to sinners the best I can and preaching the gospel. You're looking at a preacher that does not believe in screen door evangelism. 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. And I'm about to get sick of unshackled. All they ever talk about is if you just say this prayer and repeat it after me, God will save you. Son, nobody has ever been saved by a prayer. Nobody's ever been saved by a plan. People get saved by a person, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him is light, and that light is a life, and the light is the life of man. There is no salvation in any other thing, person, or object other than the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. This crowd today, friend, that's trying to birth them in through the screen door or get them to repeat some little old prayer, agree to a set of Bible facts. Let me ask you something. Do you believe that Jesus, the Son of God? I do. I do. Do you believe you're a sinner? I do. Do you believe if you died that the wages of sin is death? I do. Do you believe the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ? I do. Do you believe He's a virgin-born son of Mary? I do. Son, if you believe all that, all you got to do is repeat this prayer and God will save you. There's only one thing wrong with that, my friend. It's just not true. I'm telling you, the bride here had been birthed in the old-fashioned way. She had fell under Holy Ghost conviction and conversion, knew what it was to be hanged out over hell and shown no hope other than coming to Christ and Christ alone, and trusted Him and Him only for the salvation of her soul. Now, I'm here to tell you, if you trust in anything else, you're dependent upon a broken reed, friend. You're spitting in the wind and it'll come back and slap you in your mug one of these days. You ain't going to get in no other way. You're building on sinking sand, son. That's right, all you got a hopeless hope is all you have if you're trusting in that. Now, I want you to notice three things here in the message. And then I'm going to tell you how we can bring him to the house of God. But notice, first of all, the Bible said there that she found him. She found him. Now I'm preaching on bringing Christ into the church. There's our greatest need, is for him here tonight. Oh, yes, sir. You could get along all right without me being here. I'd get along all right without you being here. But I'm here to tell you, none of us can get along all right without Christ being here. He is the preeminent one in our midst, and we can do nothing apart from Him. Oh, it's not just a desire that we have for Him to be here. It is an imperative need that He show up if anything at all is going to be done. Now, I want to say that first of all, if you're going to bring Him, now listen to me, don't nobody leave me. We're not jumping the pews, but we're going to get something done here in a minute, I hope. If we're going to bring him into the church, We must first find Him ourselves before we can bring Him to the church. You're not going to bring Him without finding Him. You can't. That's right. That's why I'm in a pre. We need Him, folks. And I tell you, we are, oh yes, sir, like a heart that panteth after the water brooks. Our hearts ought to be panting after God. If we have tasted the delicious fruit of forgiveness, or an experience the blessedness of repentance, and we've been to the fountain and been washed in the blood of the Lamb, if we have seen Him in all of His agony on Calvary, if we've entered in to His sufferings of the cross and heard Him cry, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? If we have seen Him in that moment, then it ought to be our desire to be like Isaiah and see Him high and lifted up and sitting on His throne and the train of His train filling the glorious temple of Almighty God. I know that's right. I'm going to say there's no saved person satisfied unless they're like a hound dog on the trail of a coon. That is right, buddy. I'm talking about being on the trail of Jesus. What do you think Paul was talking about when he was saying, I press toward the mark? What do you think he meant when he said, we ought to run the race with patience? Not sit down on our stool and do nothing. But get up and look for Christ every morning, working and active in our life. Find Him in our life and bring Him down to the church. Set Him, my friend, on a candlestick and let Him light up the house of God. You let Him get His light shining in here. They'll be shouting, sure enough. Now somebody said, I'm not going to. Let Him walk in and see. He's brought bigger men than some of you to their knees. That's right. He's broken the hearts of more bigger men than what you are. He's broken the hearts and brought tears to the eyes of greater sinners than what's sitting before me. I'm telling you, His divine presence made Bartimaeus cry out, Day, thou son of David! Jesus, thou son of David! Have mercy on me! His presence made that little woman with an issue of blood press through a crowd, son. She made her way through a crowd that she might get to Jesus. I'm going to tell you what it done. It made Zacchaeus climb a tree. Son, the presence of God will make sinners climb a tree just to get one glimpse of the glory of the Son of God. Oh, we could ever realize that He's not just a mortal man. He's not another human being, but He's God Almighty. God manifest in the flesh. And thought it would behoove us to get to a place of advantage where we could catch one glimpse of the great glory of Almighty God. Oh, for His glory. For His glory in the church house. And I'll tell you, we'll never have it unless some of you bring it here. You'll have to bring it. Brother Raines told me that the greatest, told me this when he was with us a year ago. Or, it was a year ago. He said the greatest desire in his heart is to see the Scripture I read to you out of Psalms 72 fulfilled in his ministry. He wants to show this generation Christ's strength and to all those that are to come the power of God. He said, I've been a pastor in Pleasant View Baptist Church for 29 years. Now, will you listen to me? He knows what it is to have the glory. I've been in that church, my friend, when preacher boys were trying to... God was so thick that preacher boys were trying to climb the wall. You said, oh, I'd never get like that. You ain't never been there! You don't know what you'll do, son, when enough of God gets on you and enough of God gets in the church. You don't know what you're going to do. Ah, that's right. I've seen some men get on their face and lay for hours, my friend, brokenhearted and weeping before God. Oh, yes, sir, I've seen others get so beside themselves and God get so real that they'd try to climb the walls. I've seen this. I've seen them on top of awnings at Tabernacle in the middle of the night running from building to building on top of awnings. I've seen them climb trees and telephone poles, shake hands with corn stalks. I've seen them pray in cornfields. Amen to God. I've seen them pray down in honeysuckle thickets and saw. I've seen them run through sawbriar thickets, son, and never get a scratch on them. To
somebody said, "Oh, Brother Hall, that's not of God." You believe what you want to believe, but I'm telling you, when God shows up, when God shows up, Son, His people are subject. If you really love Him and long for Him, and let Him have His divine way in your spiritual man, you're subject, friend, to do something you may be a little ashamed of when you wake up in the morning. Are you listening? I'm going to tell you, we ain't going to have Him here unless you bring Him here. And you're not having, and you'll never bring Him unless you find Him first. Now I'm going to have to hurry. I'm trying to get sidetracked. About to get sidetracked. But you know, David, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. In fact, the Bible said in 1 Samuel 13:14, I believe this was Samuel talking. He said, "The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people." David was a man after God's own heart. Do you know what the word "after" means? And I ain't even looked it up in the Strong's. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. If I got after that chair over there, I'd have to move toward it. Amen to God. If I got after that microphone, I'd have to move in that direction. For David to get after God and after God's heart, he had to move in the direction of God. Oh, yes, sir. Now, I'm going to tell you, he didn't do that sitting down. Like I said about the church here, she couldn't find him when she was on her bed in the middle of the night in a complacent, lazy, sleepy attitude. And some of you are going to have to bestir your heart in order to get after God and resolve in your heart that whatever it costs and whatever the price, you're going to find him in your life. Yeah. Now I'm going to tell you what. People look for pots of gold at the end of the rainbow. They never find it. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's a greater than a pot of gold waiting at the end of the rainbow. Amen. His name's Jesus. And by the way, there'll be a rainbow set in the sky one day. Amen. Round about His throne. Amen. Round about it. Amen. Did you know that round about it means that circle in that rainbow in Revelation chapter number 4, my friend, is going to be all the way around it. Hallelujah to God. Now I'm going to tell you, He's going to be sitting right in the middle of it. Amen. There is more than a pot of gold at the end of this rainbow. Amen. Oh, His name is Jesus. Amen. He is worth more than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Amen. He's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Amen. Oh, when will the church arise from her bed of complacency, get out of the streets and the broad ways, and get to the watchmen of the city that they might find grace? They're all in all. They'll find their pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Son, I found Him whom my soul loves. Hallelujah to God. I've been holding on to Him for dear life and ain't about to let Him go. Somebody said, you sound like a Methodist. Call me whatever you want, but I found Him and I will not let Him go until I brought Him to the house of God that you might see Him. That's right. If it kills me, I've made up my mind, if it kills me, if my body drops dead tonight, I'm going to find it for your benefit. Are you listening? Have I got your attention? You're going to have to find Him, friend, if you're going to bring Him. David was a man after God's own heart. Now, I want to say, in David, in going after God's heart, that's what David was doing. He was seeking Him whom he so loved. And being a man after God's own heart, there and him moving in that direction, it brought about labor. Amen. You, look here, she had to get up off of her bed of complacency. Amen. Get up out of her and put on, she no doubt already had on her night clothes. She had to get out of her night clothes. Amen. Amen. Get out of the bed. Get out of the house. Amen. She had to get some, oh yes sir, in order to find Him. That was labor. You'll never find Him if you're not willing to work and labor. Somebody said, "Oh, I'm not saved by works." I'm not talking about finding Him for salvation. He'll find you in salvation. But you'll spend your life finding Him, my friend, to rescue you in the battle, to deliver you from the storm. Oh, yes, to love you, my friend, when you feel unloved. To strengthen you when you're weak. When you're in Satan's sin, you'll have to find Him for the strength of your faith to make it through Satan's hell. Are you listening to me tonight? Not to find Him, neighbor. To bring Him to the house of God. Now, you're going to have to first find Him, and it'll take a little bit of labor. I want to say, too, it'll take living right. You'll never find Him. David couldn't find Him without labor. David couldn't find Him without living right. Somebody said, oh, David sinned. Yeah, well, how about you? You want me to go out on the hill and pick up a bucket of rocks for you tonight? I'm going to tell you what, if I could, in for reward's sake, I'd trade places with David for rewards. Oh, yes, sir. Out of all that he did, only one thing that he ever did is all that displeased God in his life. How many things have you done that's displeased God? How many times have we waggled our tongues and displeased God? Oh, yes, how many times have we gotten lazy? How many times have we gossiped? How many times have we murmured? How many times have we complained? How many times have we liked to read our Bible, get on our face and pray? How many times have we liked to come to the church and bring God with us? At least old David, when he was carrying the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, got a holy dancer going, son, and stirred the whole city up because of the presence of God in the Ark of the Covenant while he was bringing it into the holy city. David was just a dancer. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Somebody said, that's worldly. Hogwash. Poppycock. I told you His divine presence will make you do some strange things. Old Michael said, you acted like one of the lewd fellas. David said, Michael, if you think I showed out today, you ain't seen nothing yet. Yeah. Praise God, I'm about to show you what it's like, amen, to know God. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and be saved. And to have your sins under the blood. Yeah. To know that you've got life, and more abundantly. To recognize the fact that heaven's been opened. Glory's come down. That's filled your soul. Your sins are gone. Your soul is white. You're preserved into the day of redemption. You're going to glory. Heaven is all ours. There's a mansion on the other side. There's a street of gold, glory to God. There's a river of life, praise God, on the other side. Wild trees giving all manner of fruit in their season just awaiting on us. We sat like we got cooties. No, if we had cooties, we'd at least scratch. Some of you never even move enough to scratch. Are you listening? David was a living right. I say we're living right. He fought the battles of the Lord. That's what Abigail said. Are you in the battle? You're going to have to live the right kind of life to bring him down here. Are you really fighting the battles, or have you rolled over like a possum and played dead? David fought every battle. David even went to battle when he was old. And Abishai had to succor him, for one of the brothers or one of the sons of Goliath the giant had his eye set on David. No, Abishai succored him. I'm going to tell you what. Are you hearing me now? Let me throw this out at you. Some of you young hosses in here may have to succor the old man a little bit. When my strength is no more, for God's sake, son, one of you hitch up. Amen. And succor me. Amen. Oh, yeah, help me. Amen. Some of you get enough, bring enough God down to the church that you can at least stand when Jerry jumps up and shouts and say, amen, Jerry. I just wish I had enough grit in my gall to say it. Amen. Help me. Yes. If you can help me, help me. Oh, I don't want to die without God's presence in the house of God. I don't want to go into glory until you have experienced His glory of power and love and mercy at the house of God. May God help us. Hallelujah. He fought the battles of the Lord. Don't make me fight them alone. Help me. Help me fight them, church. You can help. I know you can. Help me fight them. David refused I'm going to tell you another part of his life that God honored. David refused to put his hand on God's anointed.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. One of them boys, it might have been even Abishai, told him one time about Saul, said, "Let me run him through. I won't stick him but one time, son. If you'll just let me stick him one time." You know what David said? David said, "Oh, no, we're not to put our hands on God's anointed." And I'm going to tell you, David could have killed Saul a number of times, friend. And God honored him for that. Oh, God prevented him from going to battle with the Philistines against his own people one time because of that very thing. Are you hearing me? Now, I'm going to tell you what, neighbor. When you put your tongue on God's anointed, you are in trouble. I'm not saying that because I'm your pastor. I'm telling you a Bible fact. Huh? Well, here's what Brother Hall wants to do. But gossiping tongues, buddy. You can smile at the man of God and stand contrary to his decisions at the house of God, and in fact, in that you have put your hand on God's anointed. Be careful. Be careful. If I wanted to, I could give you some instances of people in hell. They're suffering because of it. Be careful. I want to say thirdly, when confronted with sin, he confessed it and sought cleansing of it. When Nathan looked at him, and do you know that Nathan could have been killed? John the Baptist lost his head for the same thing Nathan done. He went to a king and rebuked the king. John the Baptist lost his head in Herod's court because of it. But Nathan walked right into the White House. Gave a spiel about a little ewe lamb, and David said, "That man will pay fourfold." And Nathan said, "Thou art the man." And in Psalm 51, David cried, "Lord, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Cleanse me from blood guiltiness. Wash me and I shall be clean. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be whiter than snow." Son, he wasn't down at the priest's house either. He didn't carry a goat or a sheep down to the priest's house. He found an old-fashioned altar, my friend. Somebody said, "Oh, they didn't pray like that back then. Hogwash!" He confessed his sin to the great high priest that was yet to come, that he might be purged with blood and cleansed through and through from the sin he had committed. Now, that's why he could be a man after God's own heart. In every aspect of life, he sought God. He put God first. He was obedient to God's commandments. Moses, in Exodus 33, he said, "Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Just give me a glimpse of it. I just want one look at it. You've told me, you've called me and told me to carry this people out of the land of Egypt, and you told me who is supposed to go with me. And you are angry because they sinned and built a golden calf, and I've destroyed the calf, and yet you say that you won't walk with us any longer. Lord, show me your glory." Look here. In essence, when they built that golden calf, God told Moses, "I will not walk in your midst anymore. You got a stiff-necked and a rebellious people." And I'm going to tell you what, Moses could not stand or tolerate the idea of God being absent from them, but he fell on his face and said, "If you will not pardon their sin, and I beseech you, blot my name out of the book of life." God said, "I'm going to blot out whom I will and whom I will not or won't, and let every man stand for his own sin." And Moses said, "Then I beseech you, show me thy glory. Lord, we've got to have you in our midst. Church, we've got to have him in our midst. For it's imperative that we experience his divine holy presence around here. Help us sing, preach, pray, worship God, witness to sinners. We've got to have him. Get it to church house. For God's sake, go find him and bring him to the house of God." Are you listening? Moses said, "Give me a glimpse I got to hurry, man. Number two, if you want to bring him to the house of God, you first got to find him for yourself. Then after you found him, you're going to have to embrace him. She said, I found him whom my soul loveth. And I would not let him go. I wrapped my arms around him in love. I had missed him. I longed for him. And by the way, I'm sure she thought, and I knew how difficult it was to find him in his absence. After I found him, I would not let him go. I just exhausted all means to keep him right where I'd found him. Are you listening now? What was it old Jacob said? Jacob came back and feared Esau in Genesis 33:32. And he put his people away from him, his family, all of his sheep on the other side of the brook. He brought his wife and family back on this side of the brook, his wives and children, and he separated himself from them that night. Remember that? There wrestled with him an angel of the Lord. They wrestled all night long. And toward the daybreak, the angel of the Lord said, turn me loose and let me go. It's daybreak around here. And Jacob said, I will not let you go. Till you bless me first. I'm here to tell you, my friend, when she found him, she refused to let him go until she had carried him down to the house of God where the blessings of God was awaiting on her. She embraced him. She would. Now, somebody said, now, preacher, I don't believe you have to do that. I'm going to prove you do in a minute. He got the blessing. He was blessed with power. God gave him the power of God, the power with God and power with men, and according to verse 30, preserved his life. I'm going to tell you what, friend, spiritual life. Now, I don't think it... Hey, spiritual life. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about the life we now live in the flesh. Is slowly slipping from some of you. It was slowly slipping from Jacob. He had somebody out there that he feared. He had an obstacle of life that he saw no hope of overcoming. And it was a brother by the name of Esau. But I'm going to tell you something. He told after he wrestled with God, and he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Let God laid his hand on his right leg, and the sinew was drawn up, and he went away from that place limping. Are you listening to me? He went away limping, and God blessed him. Changed his name from Jacob to Israel, a prince with God, gave him power with God and with men. Huh? And then Jacob said, besides that, you preserved my life. Jacob said, I found him. Hallelujah. And I embraced him. And I got the victory. I found the blessing. Oh my, go home tonight. Get alone with God. Find a solitary place. Like I said this morning, pray to God. Find it. Get the victory. And next Sunday, bring you back to the house of God. Fool somebody else. And have the same blessing you have. Are you listening? Now I'm going to tell you something, friend. If he is found but not embraced, he will walk on. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall. He said he'd never leave us or never forsake us. Salvation, church. Well, what do you think, man, about all the things that's going on down in Jerusalem? I don't know what to think. You know, I thought that Jesus would surely be the one that would set up the kingdom. He is a real prophet of God, no doubt. Healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, unstopped deaf ears. And I thought surely it would be him that would restore the kingdom. What are these communications? And who are you? What are these communications that proceed out of your mouth? And why are you so sad? Amen. Well, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, a man, a prophet of God and full of power. And The chief priests and the elders have crucified him. And beside all this, it's the third day.
Yeah.
Well, why are you so sad? Well, we thought he'd restore the kingdom. Come on, brother. Come out here. And you fellas now, come back here. You fellas are the two men on the road to Emmaus, and we're walking talking, okay? Now, up there is the house we're going to. That's where you're going to, okay? That's right. We're talking. You fellas oughtn't to be sad. Now, it's getting about evening time, and we're getting to the house where you're going. Jesus would have walked on further. If they had not have constrained him to turn aside and go in. Now I'm here to tell you, my friend, if we find him, if we don't embrace him and turn down to the house of God, he will go on.